The purpose of this short class is to answer a question I received regarding the expressions used by Onkelos, I'll explain who this person was, in his translation to Aramaic of the original Hebrew of the scriptures. Now, Onkelos lived around year 100 of the Common Era, and our sages say that he actually translated the Torah into Aramaic because that was one of the main languages the common people used. And people didn't understand what the Torah was saying in Hebrew, original holy language. And therefore, through two big sages, through learning from these two big sages, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, Onkelos translated the Torah for the Jewish people, for the regular people, to understand it in Aramaic. Now, the special thing about this translation is that our sages saw it as like the real one. You want to understand what the Torah says? Go, get this translation. In this translation to Aramaic, Onkelos uses different words, different expressions in different places of the Torah when God, so to speak, appears in front of certain people in certain situations. And apparently, Onkelos used a very specific code, so to speak, to express how God appears to the people in different situations. He does not translate in the same way every single place where God appears. So, question arises. Why is Onkelos choosing different words to express different appearances, different times that God appears in front of people in different situations? Why isn't he choosing the same word? And furthermore, why doesn't he just say, God, that's it, whatever expression you want to say, but he uses like different helper expressions, like Membre Hashem, the words of God, like Yekarat Hashem, the glory of God, Shechinta Hashem, the presence of God. Why is he using such different expressions? Many people confused. I sense that this question comes from a Christian side. Many people confuse and say like, oh, you see what John says about the verbs, the logos, the word of God. So there's God and then his word and then two different persons. And then one of those persons became flesh and he came down. Woo! All of this is not found in anywhere in the Jewish tradition. In order to understand the difference between what the Christians say and what the Jews say, I'm going to explain, like I'm going to jump subjects and then we're going to go back to Onkelos. Subject, new subject, names of God. God has many names. Actually, the Ramban, Nachmanides, says in his introduction to the commentary on the Torah that the whole Torah, the whole scriptures are just names of God. Just that you have to combine the letters in different ways and then you're going to get different names of God. So he has infinite names. What does that mean that he has infinite names? Because God is infinite, he expresses, this is the key word, he expresses himself in infinite ways. But he chose to write some of those expressions in the Torah. In the Torah itself, in the scripture, in the five books of Moses, specifically speaking, you're going to find three names, basically. One of those is the name of four letters, a Yud, a He, a Vav, and a He. That name expresses the infinity of God, because the source of the words that actually makes the name is Hoya Hoyveh. He was, he is, and he will be. This is impossible for us to be at the same time, past, present, and future. This expresses that God is beyond time, beyond space, infinity. We're going to call this name Havaye. It doesn't mean anything. Just it's a reference for the name Havaye. Good. This name expresses God's infinity. Then there's another name called Elohim. Elohim, it's a name that expresses strength. God has the power to do whatever he wants in his world. He is the boss. Takif u'balakeches. That's the way, that's how he say it in holy language, actually in Hebrew. He's takif, he's strong. He's balakeches. He's the master of all strengths. And then there's another name, Adnai, which means God is the Lord. He's the boss, so to speak. Not necessarily expressing the idea of strength. Rather, he's the boss. He's the one that dictates and says something, etc. Okay, these three names throughout the Torah, throughout the scriptures, they interchange. And they, sometimes this name appears, sometimes this name appears. Sometimes they actually combine. Because God, again, he's infinite, he is only one, and he does not have any parts, and each one of these names are not persons in God that can become flesh, like John says, and Christianity came with a whole big idea of bringing down the Son of... No, not at all. My name is Tuvia. That doesn't mean that I have myself and then Tuvia. And Tuvia expresses, no, it's just an expression for myself. I'm a father. I have, Baruch Hashem, thank God, 10 children. I'm a husband, my wife. I'm a son to my parents, etc. That doesn't mean that I have different persons inside of me. Rather, it's just me, and I express myself in different ways, different quote-unquote names, through whatever I need to do, or through whatever the other person I'm interchanging ideas, etc., etc., with, interacting with, to I express myself in a specific way. That doesn't mean that I become flesh into my name of father, and then I'm like flesh into my name of son. No. It's just me. And I don't have, so to speak, in my essence, parts. It's just me. God does not have parts at all. Does not have persons at all. Not three, not four, not five, not 100. It's just God. No way to understand his essence. This is what all our sages actually say. Rambam, Maimonides says this in the beginning of his book, Mishneh Torah, etc., etc. Now, this is the idea of names, expressions of God in different ways, expressing infinity, expressing power, expressing the possibility of having a physical and limited world, even though it's multiplicity of creations, etc., but it's a limited world. I am myself, and a different person is himself, herself, etc., etc. Different things. If the infinity of God would be revealed over here, we would not be able to see different types of creations. We would just see God. That's it. So he hides himself where? Behind this other name. His infinite name, so to speak, which represents his infinity. Havaye, Hoya, Hoyveveye, he was, is, and will be. It hides himself behind Elohim, this name that represents power, that has the power of concealing his infinity in order to give space and place for a finite world, for us to be actually in his world and discover his infinity. But again, that doesn't mean that God has different persons or ways that express themselves in physical world. No, it's just God. It's just himself. Now let's go back to Onkelos. When Onkelos translated the Torah through understanding it by these sages, with the help of these sages, etc., Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, he translated each specific place where God appeared to people or to do something in different ways. Why? To express the different names of God. When he talks about Membred Hashem, the word of Hashem, what does that mean? Is something separated from God? No! It means that God is expressing himself through a specific name. And Onkelos used a specific expression to show us, hey, we're talking about this particular name of God. That means we're talking about this particular expression of God. When Onkelos does not want to use any specific name, rather the essence of God, he just doesn't use any other expression. It just says the name of God. That's it. When Onkelos wants to express the power of God, the glory of God, says Yekarat Hashem, the glory of God came up and revealed, etc., etc. This is why we find these different expressions in the words of Onkelos to express different names of God, which are, in at the end, different expressions of God. You can see in the bottom of this class the description of the sources where I got these ideas from. There are different explanations to this. Maimonides has one explanation, the Bala Akeda, which is a holy book. Rabbi Yitzchok Arama has a different explanation, and this particular explanation comes from Avodas HaKodesh, which is a book of Kabbalah, of very mystical things, very big book, written by Meir Ibn Gabay around the year 1500, and he expresses this particular idea based, actually, on a Ramban, on a commentary of Nachmanides, criticizing Maimonides of why Onkelos used actually different expressions. I hope you understand it. I hope you can actually grasp it And hopefully we will continue giving more explanations on these ideas.